Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says that jazz may never have been so obsessed with its own past as it is now. One sign is that the vast majority of rich and exploratory records coming out are reissues, especially Miles Davis reissues. A new box set collects studio recordings by Miles's 1960s quintet with saxophonist Wayne Shorter. Kevin says, like all such boxes, it's expensive, but you don't need to shell out big bucks to sample this music.
To this day, no rhythm section sounds like the one Miles Davis had in the mid-1960s. Pianist Herbie Hancock, bassist Ron Carter, and drummer Tony Williams orbited around each other more than they meshed together, but mostly thanks to the drummer, they swung like crazy anyway. When tenor saxophonist Wayne Shorter joined them in 1964, they made up a classic quintet that lasted 4 years. It's one of the great groups in jazz history, period. Now the inevitable 6-CD box of all their studio sides is out. It has 13 new alternate or rehearsal takes, and the sound is a bit drier and clearer than on previous issues, and it's for sure nice to have all this stuff in one place. But if your pockets aren't ballooning with cash, please note the quintet's original albums are already on affordable single CDs. For an introduction to this band, I'd pick up a copy of the album Miles Smiles or Nefertiti. They were recorded in 1965 and 67, but still sound amazingly fresh. All the music in this segment can be found on those records. That's Wayne Shorter's Footprints from the album Miles Smiles. Footprints has the form of a blues, but doesn't sound like a blues. That was typical of Shorter's composing style, which set the band's tone. By various means, Shorter and company loosened the connection between a piece's theme and the improvisations on it, stretching or contracting the form during solos, for example. He designed his compositions so the players could interpret some details in different ways. These musicians listened to each other so closely and often played so sparingly, the result sounded open rather than chaotic. As horn players, Shorter and Miles Davis already chose their notes with care. Now bass and piano followed suit. Since it wasn't always clear what a tune's underlying chords might be, Herbie Hancock took to playing piano solos with one hand, as if he too was a horn player, when he didn't simply vanish outright. Everyone else stepping back and playing less gave the energetic Tony Williams uncommon autonomy for a drummer. Drums became the backbone of many arrangements, leaving Williams free to steer the music all sorts of ways, all by himself. He'd alter tempos or density or dynamics as a piece was unfolding, making the compositions and arrangements that much more volatile. A tune might end sounding very different from the way it began. Or he'd boil over while the other musicians remained impassive, so the band sounded aloof and explosive at the same time, as on Wayne Shorter's Nefertiti. What all these innovations gave rise to was excellent jazz that threw out a lot of the conventions of what good jazz was. A consistent tempo, a consistent mood, strict observance of the form, these and other usual goals went out the window as the band reinvented every piece and performance. Miles Davis, never content to leave well enough alone, by the end of 1967 began incorporating electric instruments and pop elements into the blend. His fluid acoustic concept evolved into a slippery electric music of the 70s, which used to have a bad reputation, but now has a good one. His 60s band was always widely admired, though, and thanks to Wynton Marsalis, directly inspired the whole Young Lions jazz revival of the 1980s. But Marsalis, like other admirers, recreated some of the Davis Quintet's mannerisms without digging into the complex collective improvising that gave rise to it. 30 years on, jazz still hasn't caught up with the Miles Davis 60s quintet. It's riskier and more inventive than most anything in jazz these days. And by no coincidence, it's way better, too.
Kevin Whitehead is the author of the new book, New Dutch Swing, which is published by Billboard Books. We'll talk with him about it soon.